Where is your treasure? What's that thing that you value more than anything else? Let's just think at an earthly level. Abba and Molly and Lawrence, at the moment it's further study and qualifications. And so they've sacrificed a lot. They've left behind family and friends to study here in Australia. Plenty of years ago, Malcolm and Jerry met. And for Malcolm, he was willing to travel all the way to Holland and even learn Dutch, which is very difficult, I think. All because Jerry was his treasure. And for Jerry, I guess it's meant relocating. Roll of the eyes. And for Jerry, it's meant relocating to Australia, even though her family's in Holland, because here's where Malcolm is. And for other people, permanent residency is their goal. I went to Brian and Jenny's wedding reception last week, and I found out about all that they'd had to give up over the years to become permanent residents. They'd studied here, they'd learned English, they'd been lonely, they'd had to make new friends, they had to come to terms with their families not having them around. And we heard how it was a big commitment from their families as well, as they're both only children. When you decide to make something a priority, to make it a treasure, then all sorts of other things, you'll do all sorts of things to achieve that, to get that. You'll rearrange your whole life. You'll set your heart on it. And Jesus is saying that in verse 34. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, your treasure is the magnet that attracts all the parts of your life. Wherever you place that treasure, that's where you will find your desires and your priorities and your attention. It's where you'll invest your time and your energy and your money. Wherever your treasure is, that's where you'll commit the very best of your thinking and your emotions. Now, at an earthly level, for some people it's promotion or influence or career. For other people it's family or happiness or comfort. For other people it's beauty or health or physical fitness. Now, they're all good things. But for Jesus, it's not a choice of between many. For him, there's only one choice to be made. You either build treasure on earth in all of those ways and more, or you build it in heaven. Have a look at verse 32, how he introduces this idea about where your treasure is. Verse 32, he says, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to the rest of the crowd. And he says, little flock, your Father has given you his kingdom. Jesus himself has come and he's brought God's kingdom. He's shown them what it means to live with God as their king. They're learning how to do that. And since that's true, since God's given them the kingdom, they needn't fear. They needn't be anxious about the worries of life, like clothing and food and family and bills and transport and education and health. Don't be anxious about those things, because your Heavenly Father has given you something far more valuable. He's given you his kingdom. They have a treasure that's better than any of those things. And that means, verse 33, that you can sell your possessions and give things to the poor. His disciples can be generous and compassionate, just like their Father is. And Jesus says, as they're doing that, they're actually building treasure in heaven. Their earthly riches may be getting less, but their heavenly riches are increasing far more. Everything that we spend here for God's kingdom earns a great return in your heavenly account. So here's the main point I want to say this morning. If you stop listening after this, at least remember this. God has given you his kingdom. Make his kingdom your treasure. And your heart will follow where you choose to put your treasure. Live your life following your heart, building that treasure. That's it. You can turn your hearing aids off now and go to sleep. If you remember that, that's good. The rest of chapter 12 expands on that, so it would be good to keep listening. But at least if you get that bit, that's good. So, for example, verses 1 to 12, it's not printed there. We did read it or have a brief look at it last week. If our treasure is in heaven, then the first 12 verses say we won't fear men. Don't fear what men can do to you, says Jesus. Fear God instead. People's opinions, what people do to you, they won't hurt you if your identity is bound up in God and not in what they think of you. Verse 1, Jesus warns the disciples against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He's continuing on from chapter 11 about how the Pharisees were more concerned with what other people thought than they were of what God thought. That meant they kept the appearance of the law, but they didn't keep the heart. And Jesus warns his disciples against that. He says, don't be like that. A time's coming when all those hidden things will be exposed. All the secret actions on Judgment Day and what people thought of you, that will be worthless. It doesn't make sense to worry about human opinion. Verse 4. The worst that people can do is kill your body. Jesus says, value what God thinks of you instead. His opinion determines your eternal destiny, whether you go to heaven or hell. That matters far more. And it's interesting, it's an interesting word in English, to fear God. Jesus says we're to fear God, but we're also not to be afraid. Verse 5, it says, fear God who has the power to throw you into hell. But that sort of fear should drive us towards God rather than away from God. It's fear that drives us to please him, to value him. Because God knows you, he loves you, he's reliable and he's good. Every part of your life matters to God, says Jesus. The hidden and the secret things, the tiny details. The things that the Pharisees thought they could keep from God. Jesus says, God even remembers every sparrow. He knows how many hairs are on your head, even when you don't. That means we shouldn't be afraid about people. We shouldn't be afraid about dangers because we're valuable to God. And when you recognise that about God, when you place your value and your treasure in him, then verse 11, Jesus says you can stand up for him. You can defend Jesus. You can speak up for him and stand on his side in the face of opposition, even persecution. And Jesus promises when you do that, God will help you. He'll give you his Holy Spirit. What a good and generous and merciful God. Who wouldn't want to make God his treasure? Well, the next section from verse 13, which you do have printed in your sheet, is the flip side of that. If we actually treasure God, then we won't treasure things. If we treasure God, then we won't treasure things. Perhaps it's Jesus' mention about synagogues and authorities in verse 12, but someone interrupts him, verse 13, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, he doesn't say, Jesus, listen to both sides and then you make a decision. He just says, decide in my favour, even without hearing. And rather than give a verdict, Jesus says there's far more important things to worry about than stuff. Watch out, he says, verse 15, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's the true perspective. Your life is more than the things you have. And then to illustrate it, he tells a story about a man, verse 16, a rich farmer. In lots of ways, he was a success. He knew where he was going and he had a plan to get there. His land had produced a good crop. It's interesting, it doesn't say he'd worked hard and produced a good crop. It just says his land produced it. He may have done nothing. But it was a good crop, and in fact it was so good he didn't have enough room to store it, so he decides on some capital improvement. Verse 17, what shall I do? I've got no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. But it wasn't just about profits. He wasn't short-sighted. He felt he was taking a long-term view. He had a purpose in all of that planning. He wanted to take early retirement. He wasn't a workaholic. He wanted to enjoy his things. Verse 19, I'll say to myself, you've plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink and be merry. That's a goal of many people today, isn't it? You see the signs on the telegraph poles. Earn $1,000 a week. Retire by the time you're 35. Or retire in 2 years' time. Everyone thinks, wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what this man wanted to do. He seems to have everything. On the surface, he's the perfect man. He's rich, he's forward-thinking, he's clever, he's well-balanced, he's not a workaholic. But then in one short paragraph, Jesus drags him down. He's a perfect fool because his planning only reaches as far as this life. Verse 20, God says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who'll get all that you've prepared for yourself? All those plans come to nothing. All his sheds are worthless. All his possessions go to someone else because death, the great equaliser, has struck and left him with nothing. What a fool. He'd thought he was planning long term, but it wasn't long term enough. He'd planned for retirement but hadn't thought about death. His planning had stretched only as far as grey hair, a stiff back and golf 3 times a week. He'd forgotten about heart attacks, cancer, death and life after death. And yet all of those things are real. You can't control them with money. You can't stockpile them in sheds. You can't control them with a sound investment strategy. There is more to life than things. Eternity is a reality. And Jesus says only fools think differently. I hope you're not a fool. Verse 21, Jesus concludes the story. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but isn't rich toward God. Only a fool builds riches here and ignores God. Only a fool is more concerned with his 5-year plan than his eternal destiny. Only a fool stores up things for himself and isn't rich towards God. What sort of barns are you building? What is the centre of your life? The thing that gets you up in the morning. The thing that you are rich towards. The treasure that you're building. Jesus says if it's anything that perishes, if it's anything that doesn't last beyond this life, then you're chasing fool's gold. Costume jewellery. The only treasure that's worth building is treasure in heaven because it lasts. The only relationship worth giving your heart to is to be rich towards God. He is the greatest value. Put him first. Make his concerns and his priorities your concerns and priorities. Jesus goes on in the next section to show what that looks like from verse 22. When we put God's kingdom first, that will mean putting other things second or third. Don't worry, he says, about food or comfort or clothes. There's more to life than those things. Verse 24, God feeds the birds. They don't work. They don't plan for tomorrow. And you're much more valuable than birds or flowers in the field. Verse 27, they don't work to make clothes. They only last for days. But God still dresses them beautifully. How much more will God clothe you? Verse 26, Jesus says, worry achieves nothing. Just leave it with God. Verse 30, non-Christians run after those things. They focus their lives on those things. Why? Because they don't have a Heavenly Father who looks after them. He knows what you need. An example of this, I was talking to Thomas Leong this week. He's from our 10:15 service. He was describing the process of he and Georgie buying a house. And he talked about the uncertainty and the problems. He talked about not knowing whether this was the right house or if there was another house that was better. Not knowing if they put in a bid whether it would be successful and whether they'd be looking again next weekend. But he said, through it all, that he and Georgie, they didn't worry because they knew that God was guiding them and that he cared for them. And if they missed out on this house, then there must be something else that he had in store. And they were quite at ease through it all. What an advantage Christians have when it comes to situations like that. We can lean on these words of Jesus. Don't worry about that stuff, he says. Leave it with your Father. He knows what you need. Instead of seeking those things, instead of making them your treasure, seek God's kingdom. Make it your treasure. God will provide the rest. Make pleasing God your treasure. Work at righteousness and love and patience and humility. Honour Jesus in your words and in your work, in your marriage and in your money, in your public life and your private life. If accumulating money isn't your treasure, then that means you can be generous. You can be merciful. You can give it away to the poor. Give your heart to those things instead. Are you generous with your money? If comfort and rest isn't your treasure, then you can actually serve God's people in ministry with energy and perseverance and big-heartedness. You can wear your knees out in prayer. Give your heart to those things. Are you sacrificially serving? If people's approval isn't your treasure, then you can risk their ridicule and their scorn by speaking and living counterculturally, by proclaiming sin and forgiveness and judgment and mercy without fear or favour. Give your heart to those things. Are you living as salt and light in your neighbourhood or in your workplace? And as you do those things, verse 33, your treasure on earth may be going down. You may not be building your earthly assets, but your heavenly bank balance is steadily growing, and that's far more useful and far more permanent and far richer. And notice what won't happen. Some people think that Christians are too heavenly-minded to be of any earthly use. Have you heard that? Their heads are in the clouds. They're so preoccupied with the future, they're no use in the present. But Jesus is saying here that when you seek first God's kingdom, it's actually the opposite. When you choose to set your treasure in heaven, your heart will be there, and then you will do everything now to build that treasure. You'll grow God's kingdom on earth so that it will be like in heaven. Now you will sow generosity and compassion and justice. You'll sow the seeds of the gospel into all sorts of soil now so that you can reap a harvest for eternity. You see, being heavenly minded makes you of great earthly use. Well, so far we've seen that if God is your treasure, you won't fear men. And secondly, that if God's your treasure, you won't worry about things. Thirdly, just quickly from verse 35, Jesus teaches that if God's your treasure, don't delay. Begin storing up treasure today. Don't be like your teenage children when you ask them to clean their room and they say, I'll do it soon. Don't be like that with God. Don't say, I'll change my priorities once I save for the car, or once I get married, or once the kids grow up, or I'll get serious about God when I retire. Now is the time to be building your treasure. because you never know when it'll be too late to start. Verse 35, Jesus says, it'll be like servants waiting for their master to return from a banquet. They're sitting around waiting for a knock on the door, but they've got their shoes on, their belts tightened, and their lamps are burning. They're ready. It might be a long time, it might be a short time. No one knows when, but everyone is prepared. They're not going to get surprised. And that's what we should be like as we live, waiting for Jesus. And verse 37, did you notice the extraordinary promise when we live like that? It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. How extraordinary is that? That would be unthinkable, wouldn't it, in an earthly situation? But in our heavenly home, our reward will be the approval of Jesus. And he says he will even put on the apron himself and serve us. A fitting reward, I think, for our far inferior service for him. Well, verse 42, the parable is slightly different. It's another parable describing what being ready looks like. It's not inaction, not focusing on anything else, waiting for Jesus. No, here's what being ready means. It's always doing the things he wants us doing, because we never know when he'll arrive. So there's no getting caught out. When you're storing up treasure in heaven, it'll be like a servant who's a faithful and wise manager. He's looking after the household for his master. He's making sure everyone's getting fed. He's paying the bills. And he's not clock watching. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's not lazy. He's just being consistent, faithful and steadfast. He works the same whether his master is away or whether his master's in the room watching. Verse 43, Jesus says, it'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. When the master returns, the servant is doing exactly what he does every day. And the master will be pleased. Verse 44, there'll be a promotion. He'll put his servant in charge of everything. That's another way of describing our reward, our treasure in heaven. Make sure that's you. Begin by focusing on what God's done for you in Jesus. You are worth more to him than sparrows. He's given you his kingdom. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Everything you do is known to him. Focus on those things. Then choose to be rich in your response to God. Generosity and gratitude. Choose to build your treasure in heaven. And then set your heart there. Make your life and your thoughts and your priorities those of heaven. Let the scent of heaven fill your conversation so that people can join you there. And your Lord Jesus himself will be overjoyed, and he'll serve you and he'll rejoice with you. What a treasure to spend your life living for. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, give us a picture of what you have in store for us. May that be our treasure. May we set our hearts there, and may our lives reflect that heart desire. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.